All right, everybody. First off, excuse me if I start coughing. I came down with a nice little cold because of the airplane, and keep clearing my throat, so I apologize in advance for that. Thank you, Bill. So I'm going to be talking about social networking within the context of an intranet. And, you know, honestly discussing why social networking and intranets are not mutually exclusive concepts. Some people have said that, when I've given this talk that, it's really opened their eyes to what an intranet can be. Because oftentimes, as you can imagine, you know, many companies have intranets that are, you know, these static file servers. They're dusty, they're old, they're not connecting with anybody. And they're basically the place you go when, you know, you've had an accident the week before and you need to file an insurance claim. So, you can't expect much out of a site like that. So I'm going to be talking why, you know, social networking and community aspects can actually be a killer app for your internet. And, talk about how you can, make a lot more out of your internet than you might be doing right now. The other thing I'm going to be talking about is the company that I work for makes a product that enables social networking within the context of an intranet. So I'm going to give a demo of that, actually. So who am I? My name is Bill Cava, and I'm the chief technologist at Ectron. I've been in the web since the early days, like all of y'all. And, I'm passionate about my job. I love the web, love technology. Who's Ectron? First and foremost, Ectron is a web content management company. It is not in any way, shape, or form a new startup social networking company. It's been in business since 1998. Core competency, first and foremost, is web content management. I'm not going to tell you that Ectron is retooling itself as a social networking company. That's absolutely not the case. And, you know, over the next couple of slides, I'll kind of give you an idea of who Ectron is, what it is that we do, and show how social networking actually fits into the puzzle, you know, that we're building. So, you know, our company's mantra, our company's core charter is always based around answering the question, what do you want your website to do? And everything that we do, we try to answer that question. You know, it's more than just, you know, marketing jargon. It actually permeates our company. Each of the groups, have to answer that question in almost everything that they're doing. So like I said, Ectron's been around for a while, has a bunch of customers. And so to understand why somebody who is coming from the web content management world is talking about social networking, I thought it would help to take a second to understand what it is our product is and what our product does. The bare bones is our product's called TMS 400. And this entire thing isn't going to be about our product. This is just to put it into some context. It's a very robust, full-featured, blah, 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 content management system. One of the more popular ones. The nutshell is it's the core of what we sell today. And so, you know, over time, as I said, we've been in business for the past 10 years. Over time, we've added, features to the core functionality. In its humble beginnings, it really just allowed people to author HTML content and publish that, onto a website. Very simple. It was back when, that was kind of a novel concept. And so, at that time, it just had support for simple authoring of content and management of those users. As the web evolved and we continued to develop our software and sync, we were listening to the kinds of things people wanted to do. And, the content took on a different meaning. It wasn't just publish out an HTML page. It was, yeah, we have content, but it's taking the shape of a blog, a forum, a threaded discussion, a wiki. And so, you know, we modified and extended the concept of content to include those aspects. But the core remained the same. You know, the same things that you could do with content, you could do with all these things. That means that, you know, if you wanted to, you know, provide, you know, an approval process around a blog, you could do that. So if you had a blog and your CEO is blogging, then, you know, you might not want that person to say something that's going to, you know, the CEO might not want to say something that's going to destroy his numbers. Now, give him kudos for blogging. He's not going to want to do, you know, jump into the deep end. He's probably going to want to have some checks and balances in place. So, you know, because it's based on a fully functioning CMS, you have the ability to put those kind of approval processes in place. So, you know, over the recent past, maybe 2 years, you know, a lot of our customers have been asking for, you know, advancements in our user model. You know, so they're looking at their users and saying, you know, hey, our users want to be able to, you know, create connections between each other. And these users are doing things that other people in the community would like to know about. And so we extended our user model to allow users to create social relationships and provide our customers with modules that they can use to build up an application that has social networking functionality. And like I said, I'm going to be demoing an application that I built, within the context of an intranet to show off some of this stuff. So first, I just wanted to, talk about why I think social networking is relevant to business today, because you hear a lot about it, you know, a lot of buzz around it. And really, there's a lot of buzz around it just because partially because it's popular. And, you know, all the Facebooks and the MySpace and their APIs are just, you know, fueling its growth. And you can see, you know, when these companies publish out their numbers, that the growth curve is exponential. So, I mean, it's obvious that it's popular. But from a business standpoint, you know, so what's the business value, especially for somebody on an intranet? You know, why would somebody want to take the time to put this kind of functionality on an intranet? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but, you know, you all know the kind of origin on how we've gotten to where we are today. And, you know, social networks are not new. A buddy of mine worked for a social networking company in the mid to late 90s called Six Degrees. How many people have heard of that? Not many. Oh, cool. Awesome. A buddy of mine worked for that. And, you know, it totally died. The technology was awesome. The technology was great. The company died because the web hadn't caught up to it and people just, you know, weren't there yet. So, it's definitely not a new concept. And the term social networking is a term that doesn't even come from, you know, computer science. It comes from, you know, the 50s or 60s from a sociologist who was looking to describe the phenomenon of, you know, the friend of a friend and how you can link people together through that concept. And, he was researching how people find jobs and how people make friendships and people get married, and realize that it has largely to do with your social network. And so, you know, there are ties between people, there are ties between objects, there are ties between me and the things that I do every day. And so we see a big business value in having software on an intranet that leverages those connections. So, you know, social networking is, like I said, it's growing exponentially. It's huge. There are a lot of vertical aspects where it's taking off. But I'm not going to be talking about it within the context of any particular vertical, like a MySpace for moms or a LinkedIn for retirees. You know, those are all interesting and useful, but I'm talking about specifically on your intranet. You know, so in a nutshell, it's important. It's growing exponentially. And so just have a question. So just a show of hands, if you think that your ability to get work done is improved by or enhanced by your involvement in any social networking community like LinkedIn or MySpace? Okay, there's some. So that's interesting. You know, oftentimes when I ask, there aren't too many because, you know, they think of it more as a recreation. But, you know, so it's sort of a trick question because, you know, we obviously rely on real-world social networking situations like I was describing before. You know, if I want to get something done, I want to have a brainstorming session, I'll invite a friend or a colleague out to lunch. And, you know, if I'm looking to, you know, find out what the latest sales numbers are, I'm going to think of who is it in our company that is the most knowledgeable about that. I'm going to contact that person. I'm going to get the information directly from them. So, you know, we do a lot of social networking outside the context of companies or outside of sites like MySpace or Facebook. So, you know, so it's no surprise. I think that social networks are valuable within an organization. So if I'm a software developer, am I saying that, you know, if you're a software developer, am I saying that you'll be able to get stuff done faster, better? If you're a marketing person, you know, will you be able to get your marketing collateral, I don't know, more consistent with the company's messaging? I'm not a marketer, so maybe a stretch. You know, I'd say the answer is yes, you know, but how? So some thoughts, you know, 30 years ago, let's say it's 1978. And, you know, I'm looking for a document written by a colleague, you know, Marsha. And, you know, I walk into her office because I know she's knowledgeable about this. I walk into her office and I ask her, you know, what's the latest on this particular project? And she might swivel around, you know, after putting out her cigarette, she might swivel around and open up her filing cabinet and pull out the latest folder. And there you go. You know, there it is in paper. You know, but it's the same thing that we're doing now, you know, 10 years ago, you know, but just in a slightly different form. You know, I'd still ask her for it. She wouldn't be smoking, but she might go navigate her, you know, local file structure on her computer or, you know, browse over to her network drive and pull out a document. You know, and today what we're doing on our intranet internally, and I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, this is what we do internally. Our intranet is completely driven by community features, social networking features, and it has absolutely changed quantifiably the way that we've done business. You know, but it's basically the same today. You know, if I have a question, you know, say I want to talk to our IT admin, and I want him to you know, give me some information on, I'm looking to set up a VPN at home. Well, if I'm looking to set up a VPN at home, the first person that comes to my mind is this guy, Colin. Colin's the IT guy. Colin knows everything about this kind of thing. So, you know, I'm going to think, contact Colin. Well, what we do internally is I think I'm going to go to Colin's profile because Colin is responsible for managing his profile. And on his profile, he has, you know, that sort of information. I can browse his documents. I can get the latest, you know, Word document that has the instructions on how to set up a VPN at home. And so, you know, the physical world, you know, changes over time. You know, 30 years ago, we're using file folders. You know, 10 years ago, we're using maybe a computer or a network drive. Today, we may be using profiles. But the nutshell, when it all boils down, is that, you know, there are social connections. And we can leverage those social connections just to find documents easier and get work done. You know, so take a look at kind of like the traditional intranet that's out there. So I'm not talking about the one that I'm going to demo, but just the traditional intranet that exists out there. You know, if I fire it up in most organizations, what are you going to do to find that document? So say I take that same example where I have, you know, Colin, the IT guy who's got his document out there. You know, say I'm looking for, okay, let's say I go out looking for Colin because first I think of Colin and I'm going to try to find him. I look at his desk. He's not there. I ask the person next to him. I say, where's Colin? Colin's out for today. I said, ah, shoot, I'm trying to set up my VPN at home. Do you have any ideas on how to do that? Person says, yeah, I think I found that document on the internet once. So I think, okay, yeah, I've searched the internet before. I haven't had too much luck. So I'll try it out, though. So I go back, I sit down at my desk, You know, I fire up my VPN, my internet, and I enter in a search, and I get search results. And so maybe that works, and maybe it doesn't. But it's one way people try to find information, try to connect to information with today's internet. So it's another opportunity, another possibility. People will try to navigate the menu structure on an internet, right? So what does that mean? That means that somebody who set up this website, somebody had an idea on how that content was going to be organized and how people would think of finding it. I was recently at, last week I was at Mix, Microsoft's Mix conference, and I was on this amazing user experience track done by Adaptive Path. I don't know if anybody were there. But we did this brainstorming session I won't go into the details, but the nutshell is we did this brainstorming session on trying to solve a particular problem. And I was amazed at the different ways, you know, the different solutions that people came to, you know, for the same problem. So that really opened my eyes to something. You know, that basically said to me, there's no chance in heck, or there's little chance. Let's be optimistic. I'm an optimistic guy. There's little chance that, you know, the information architecture or the way you think about content and the way it's organized in your brain matches the way that I think about it, because people think about things differently. So certainly it may be great if I can, you know, navigate a menu structure to find this information, and maybe I'll be successful and maybe I won't. But the nutshell here is that I've got to navigate somebody else's mental model. I've got to understand somebody else's concepts for how information is organized. So what those two things show you is that you know, typical internets have a way to connect to information. What I'm going to show you is that there is another way to connect to information, and that is using the relationships that you're already familiar with. You know, so it leads to, you know, one of two values I see, business values and social networking on the internet. You know, it provides people, it empowers people to connect to information that, you know, leveraging the connections that they are already familiar with. You know, it's more than, social networking is more than, as you all know, more than a buzzword. It's really a relational model, right? It's a relational model that, you know, has been used, you know, as long as people have had friends, have had connections, and it defines the ways that people interact. You know, so what purposes do internet serve? You know, as a corporate, here's an example. An example definition provided by AT&T that they have for an intranet. An intranet is a corporate network that uses web servers and browsers to provide company information such as benefit plans to corporate employees in an easy and accessible fashion. I mean, that's probably that's the definition that every freaking intranet follows that I've seen. I mean, they're static file servers. So we did a lot of research internally to find out what it is that people want on an intranet. And so let me show you a few bullet points that we found from our research. So a portal for finding company information, employee phone numbers, to educate employees on company policies, you know, connect offices together regardless of geographic locations, building your organization's brand internally, defining, articulating corporate culture, improving communications, and improving morale. I mean, how many intranets that you've seen, you know, inspire so much, you know, inspiration that your morale has been improved. I mean, just, I don't think of an intranet when I think of something that improves morale, you know, but it came up in a number of conversations that we had with customers. And, you know, these weren't, you know, depressed companies sitting out in the middle of nowhere, grasping at straws for, you know, please save our company. You know, these are people that were engaged in, you know, trying to find ways to connect with their companies and with their employees. So, you know, you can see the kind of archetypal definition, and you can see what people want, and there's a big gap between the two. And so some of the research we found showed that you know, of those two primary methods for finding information, you know, search and navigation, 33% of people found it difficult to access the right information on their company intranet. This is coming up from a 2007 report. In search, 50% of the people found the search function on their website, on their intranets, to be ineffective. I mean, so the nutshell there is that, you know, people aren't accessing the information they need. And so what happens if you go to a website, you know, any website, not an intranet, but you go to a website and you're not connecting with the information you need? You're going to stop going. You're not going to go. You know, so people move away from the intranets, and that's how you end up with the kind of crusty old intranet sitting in the corner that nobody's using. You know, so intranets fail when companies fail to understand its users. And, you know, when they don't understand that, you know, the real success of an intranet is determined by its employees and whether an employee visits and uses its intranet. So why does that happen? I mean, happens for a number of reasons. You know, obviously, like I said, they're not connecting the right information with the people, but they're not staying abreast of, you know, the ways that people use websites. You know, I mean, how many people prefer to use all other communication methods other than email, like MySpace or Facebook? I mean, I will talk to friends more on social networking sites than I do via email. It's because it's a better communication channel. I don't have a bunch of emails flowing into my inbox and necessarily I'd have to weed through without any context. You know, social networking actually puts context around the conversation. So, you know, with employees more familiar with these types of communication models, you know, companies really need to look at this type of communication, social networking, you know, community-based collaboration, to get people inspired and engaged in using their intranets. And so I was recently at a conference in New York City that was heavily visited by lawyers. And it was right across the street or right down a couple blocks from Columbia Law School. And I was talking about social networking on an intranet. And, you know, there were, you know, the people were split into three groups. There were people who found, you know, who immediately understood and got what I was saying. And they were typically lawyers that either recently graduated from Columbia Law or were graduating from Columbia Law or understood the concepts of social networking. They got this and they said, wow, this is something that I want to bring back to my law firm and try to inspire them to use. There were people in the middle that got it. And then there were people on the other extreme, you know, that had no clue what social network was, had no idea of why anybody would want to use anything other than email. So, you know, so there is certainly a learning curve associated with it for some segment of the population, for some group. And from our experience, that the size of that group is actually relatively small, believe it or not. So resurrecting your intranet, you know, when I was thinking about this slide, I started thinking about the Monty Python skit, you know, bring out your dead. You know, it's like you have this thing out there that's practically dead, and it's like, I'm not dead yet, but you know, it's practically dead. So you might as well just whack it over the back of the head like they did in Monty Python. Just kill it, throw it in the bucket. But, you know, people got to think of, you know, you're driving traffic to your intranet. I mean, how many people think about driving traffic to your intranet, you know, putting like analytics trackers on there, you know, to see how popular pages and sites are? I mean, just people don't think of intranets like that. And, you know, there's this quote here, you know, that says, you know, the most important thing to realize is that about intranet success is growth, and it's just as important, you know, to an intranet as it is to a public facing website. You know, so how to make it succeed? You know, employees need to have a personal stake in the intranet. You know, what does that mean? I mean, that means that people need to be engaged in it. You know, think of the intranet as a communications tool rather than just a tool for publishing. You know, the importance of knowing what users want, what they're already using, you know, in terms of publishing tools is important because, as you'll see in a bit when I get into the demo, you know, you're going to want to facilitate their everyday usage patterns because you're going to want to tie into that everyday usage because you're going to want to make the internet a place that they need to go every day. So just like people need to update their profiles on a bunch of different you know, social networking sites, you'll see how, at least we do internally, we've created an internet that our employees go to every day, and they have to, not because we've made a mandate, but because that's how they're going to be connected with the projects, with the people that they're working with. So that brings me to my second of two principles on social networking on the internet. You know, provide employees with the co-ownership to make it an integral part of their, you know, everyday work life. So, you know, suffice to say, and I'm going to jump into the demo, but suffice to say that, you know, the internet is really and can really be a hub of communication with your within your organization. You know, I mean, think about the things you see on Facebook, right? Photos, right? You have an activity feed. You can use it as a place for, you know, publishing photos of your last holiday party. You can use this to subscribe to the activity feed of people within groups that you're working, you know? So you can get notified when somebody updates a document, or you can get notified when, you know, so-and-so has left you, you know, a task to update a document and to refine a document. Rather than getting inundated, go ahead, sir. There's a question in the back. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good question. If you don't mind, I'm going to hold off to that to answer that one until the end, just because I'm going to talk briefly about that. But I'll get to that. Okay. All right. Thanks. So, and the last thing I want to say about this slide is, you know, why think of it as a community hub? Well, I mean, for how, you know, I can speak for myself at least that. You know, I can think of the last three jobs that I held, and I can think of a lot of my good friendships originated from my place of employment. And, you know, it is, after all, the internet is, you know, a source of information about all your friends. So, you know, at the very least, you know, people have, you know, that level of engagement, you know, wanting to seek out what their friends are doing. You know, so, you know, that's why I think the internet is going to be, social networking is the internet's killer app. I mean, it's what it needs to bring it from kind of doldrums of dust and neglect to some place where people actually use it and think about it. You know, like I said, you know, give something that employees need to use, you know, day to day. So a demo. So I've already been going for about a half hour, so I'm going to keep this about the demo to about 10 minutes so I can have room for questions and answers if there are any. So this is an intranet. I won't say this is the same data that we have on our intranet because our legal department didn't want me displaying, you know, our own internal proprietary, you know, conversations. But this is the same software with a different look and feel, the same software that powers our internal intranet. And so what you're looking at here is, you know, should be extremely familiar if you're using MySpace or Facebook, go down the line, right? So the first things I'll say here is that, you know, you're looking at the profile of the CEO of the company, okay? And along the right-hand side, you'll notice that that person has colleagues. Okay, colleagues are just friends. Everybody in the company has a profile. So everybody in the company has a profile. They start, they're automatically given one. And we give them time to update their profiles, manage their profiles during the work week. You know, so we set it, it's an important thing. We give them time. If we see them, you know, adding friends, you know, updating bookmarks, doing this or that on their profile, that's a good thing. We don't see that as a negative thing. So everybody in the company has a profile. Every profile has certain attributes. So a profile has a blog. And I'm going to tell you how we specifically use these. These aren't just like features I'm throwing out there. These are things that we use for specific business purposes. So, you know, every profile has a blog. Every profile has a message board. Every profile has a document workspace. Every profile has a place where they can share photos. You can invite colleagues. You can join groups. And let me dive into, specific areas of this. So you can see here, the person's name is Kay Milford. You can see what her title is. You can see the department that she affiliates herself with. You know, all of her, you know, essentials right here. So you can see already, you know, use case number one, practical use case number one. I want to get so-and-so's phone number. Okay, I'm going to go to the intranet. I'm going to do a search through colleagues, and I'm going to find that person's contact information in a visual way right here. Having a picture associated with that person has been huge for us. I mean, because over the past 2 years, we've gone from a 50-person company where I've known, you know, the face, I don't know, of everybody, to, you know, a 200-plus company in 3 countries where I have no chance of meeting some of the people until I travel halfway around the world. So, you know, having a face there is really improved my connections with other people in the company. So over here, you can see colleagues. You can see that these are links. If I click on it, it'll go to the profile of that colleague. Go over here, I see community groups. So these community groups are groups that are self-organizing. Anybody in the company can create a community group. We have very few restrictions around, you know, what somebody in our organization can create a community group for. For example, you know, we have a large number of engineers in our organization, not just developers, but a very technical group. You know, our CEO is an electrical engineer. Our COO is, does something with physics. So we're a very technical group. And so we have, you know, these informal groups that aren't directly related to our business, but are geared around our community interests. So we have a group on, you know, a physics group that's led by our CEO who, you know, leads it, you know, organizes discussions, shares information, shares photos, and uses that community group as a means for organizing people interested in it. So, you know, Kay Milford here, who's the CEO, belongs to two groups. She belongs to the engineering group and the management group. So she also has a select number of colleagues. And these aren't the entire colleagues in the organization. There's a question here. Yes, exactly. That's it. So the question was, over here, these colleagues, are those colleagues specifically associated with this profile? The answer is yes. So there's a way, and I'm going to show you, to get to a directory of all the employees. So I could, you know, find somebody new. I could invite that person to be a colleague, and that person would show up in my colleague list on the right-hand side. So this is the colleagues on the right-hand side. Are those colleagues that this person has invited to connect with for some specific reason. Maybe they're friends, maybe they're working on a project. They just want quick access to that person's profile. So I'm going to go down a bit. I'm going to drill into each of these, but I'm going to go over the breadth first. I talked about community groups. These are favorites. So, you know, this is an internal Delicious style, you know, bookmarking thing. You know, Delicious has the ability for you to mark things as private. I use Delicious all the time. But there are some things, some information that I just want to make sure that it is, you know, within our organization, or it's a bookmark of something that I have on the internet, you know? So I want to be able to bookmark those things that are private. You can see over here, there's a blog. Each of these are blog titles. Clicking on them would go to the actual blog post. And you can see that she's using it for communicating her weekly goals. So as the president of the company, she is, you know, using this as a mechanism for getting weekly goals out to the company, communicating out to employees, you know, what she wants to see happen in the organization for that week. This is actually how our CEO is using his profile. He uses it weekly. I mean, he updates weekly, you know, what he wants to see happen. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's a great way to keep in touch. So there's a message board, you know, there's another question in the back. Yeah, that's a great question. So the heart of the question was, you know, can you control, you know, permissions and such throughout? And the answer is yes, because going back to what I said earlier, at its heart, we're a content management company. And so we have those fundamentals like, you know, permissions, approval, workflows, you know, approval process down. So you can say, you know, anytime somebody posts something, before it goes live, it needs to go to first, you know, somebody in marketing to review spelling and messaging, and then lastly to somebody in legal to make sure that it's, you know, not going to get anybody sued, and then finally it can go live. You have as much or as little of that as you want, and you have the ability to assign permissions to limit who sees what. We also have a more simplified version for this that kind of has this notion of public or private. You know, for can my friends or my colleagues see this, or is it public? And I'm going to show that in a little bit. So down here, you can see a workspace section. So you can see that this is you can tell by the icon, this is a web page. This is a summary of it. This is a Word document. And you can see I got a summary of that. So, you know, because I'm logged in, I have the ability to do certain things to that. So I can, you know, view this object's history. Like I said, content management, you have, you know, full history, revisioning, permissions around things like documents and assets. Say I wanted to, you know, save this locally and make modifications, I could do that. So it'll save it locally. I'll make modifications. I'll save it in Word. And it's automatically going to transfer those changes up to the server. So this is a real-world way that this is going to be my first, you know, the place that I go to get a document, modify a document, but have it integrated into my day-to-day workflow. So I'm going to open a document in a second, but just to keep going over the elements that you see here. You know, so you see a, you know, photo gallery. If I click on this, I'm going to go to all the photos that this person's uploaded. So that's kind of like the overview of a profile. Now, let me take a practical use case. So let's say I'm Kay, the CEO, and I just moved, got a new computer, and I want to get my VPN up and running at home. Just like the example I gave before, I'm first and foremost going to think about Colin, the IT guy. I'm not going to think about doing some weird search for characters that I think might exist in a document on how to set up a VPN. But I'm going to think about Colin, the IT guy. In this case, Colin has been renamed for legal purposes to John Smith, the administrator. So she's going to click on John Smith's profile, right? And goes over to John Smith. And I'm going to go over here down to his documents and sees a document on how to set up the VPN. So that's very natural. It's very familiar with how people find information in the natural world, and this is an extension of it onto the local intranet. So actually, I am logged in as this guy right now, John Smith. And since I'm logged in as him, I'm going to show the process of modifying one of these documents. So let me go over to one of these documents that he has in his profile. The CSS standards document. Okay. Yeah. Question. beep. Yes. Yeah, so that's an excellent question. So the question was, if John Smith was not a colleague of mine, and I was new to the company, and I didn't know who the IT guy was, I need to fall back onto one of those other ways of finding that same document. And that's an excellent question. And the answer is, yeah. So since it's pure web content management, we have full text indexing search. So if you wanted to do a context search for, you know, set up a VPN, then you would get normal search results. And I can show that in a bit. Get normal search results that would bring up that document, provided that he made that document public. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do a save as. You can see it brings up the familiar save as dialog. So I'm going to do save. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to put it in this document, my downloads. I can open it. It opened it on the wrong screen. So I'll go over here, bring it over. And this is a document showing, you know, best practices in CSS. And let's say the IT guy, for whatever reason, loves CSS. You know, he can do something. I don't know. I'm not. Let's see. Notice. Oh, there you go. Perfect. I meant to do that. There's a typo. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So the IT guy is somebody who noticed that, and he comes over here and he changes it and he saves it. Doing that save actually just updated it on my profile. So if I were to open that up again, actually, no, I didn't save it. So let me do that again. So I'm going to do an edit in Microsoft Office. So I did a save, so that actually didn't change it. So let me find that again. Okay. I'll type my C. Describes. Now if I go over save. Okay, you see that dialog coming up? That actually just went out to the internet and updated it. Because I did edit right from the internet. The system's smart enough to know that that's a document that exists on the internet. So when I open it, I can edit it, I can save it, and seamlessly goes right back to the internet. So again, this reinforces that concept that, you know, this really can be the place that people go first and foremost to make changes, to make edits, to do their work day to day. So the question was, is the author the only person that can make edits? It depends on how you set up the permission. So by default, if we were just to take and use this, the way that it's set up is that if your documents are set up as public, anybody can. If it's private, it means that you have to be either a member of the group or somebody that is a colleague that has access to your profile. So I'm going to close that. So that's an example of a profile. Now let me show a group. Let me go over to IT services. I'm the IT guy, logged in as the IT guy, and you can see my group. Group, you know, if you're familiar with the kind of experience of a user profile, then the experience of a group profile and what attributes the group profile has is very familiar. You can see that rather than colleagues, I'm seeing members. So there are four people that belong to this group. You can see who the group admin is. You can see tags, which can help me search, find things more accurately. I'll explain that in a little bit. And you can see comments that the members have posted. You know, welcome to the group. You know, so-and-so says, you know, hey, just make sure you notice that I updated chapter 3, chapter 4, section 3. Might need to modify it based on our conversation, blah, blah, blah. You can see documents over here. You know, these documents are only accessible to people in the group, provided it's marked private for people in the group. If it's marked public, then anybody who has access to this could come in and modify it. But also note that if it were public, you have complete revision in history, so that means that you have the ability to go and modify. You have the ability to go in and see the history for items. So if somebody made a change that you don't agree with or you want to revert, you can go in and revert that. Okay, so you can see I'm the admin here. So I'm going to log out, and I'm going to log in as a different user. This user's name is John. Edit. So I'm now logged in. So I'm going to go to my profile. So you can see my John Edit guy, sales guy in the department sales. You can see he's testing out his comments here. And you can see that he belongs to the IT services group. You know, as such, that would mean that he has the ability to go over and edit documents on that profile as well. Let's say that he wants to add a new document, okay? Say he wants to add a new document to this IT services groups. For whatever reason, he belongs to IT services, and he, I don't know, maybe he's an IT guy at heart. So let's say that, you know, he wants to upload a document into the system. How does he get a document into the system? This icon over here represents a drag and drop icon. I click it, and it brings up this window. It says drag and drop assets to add it to the system. I'm going to take this document on how to change passwords. I'm going to drop it in. I knew things were going too smoothly for a demo. So, maybe there's a dialogue hidden on my other screen. Hold on. It's doing something. So anyway, you know, suffice to say, you know, that there's drag drop ability. So you have the ability to just take a document, drag and drop it into the system. Once that document's added, it becomes a managed asset. And what a managed asset just simply means is that you have everything that I've been talking about, the ability to search, the ability to have an approval process, the ability to have a, you know, an alert sent out when when documents are added or content's added. It looks like it's doing something, so I'm going to let it finish. You have the ability to go through the history and say, I don't want this change anymore, I want to revert it. So we've got about, actually, 12 minutes left, so I'm going to actually... you know what? We have so we're actually over in the exhibit hall. That's actually something that I'd be happy to show you. Anything that you want to see that's outside the scope of this demo, then swing by our booth. We're next to Google, like two booths down from Google. So just swing by and I'd be happy to give you a demo of that. You can go to our website and get a demo, absolutely. Yeah, so we do have a calendar, definitely have a web calendar. One of the cool things about our next major release, this is version 7.5, our next major release, 8.0, is going to have integration with Outlook. So you can subscribe to those calendars. So you can modify your calendars, write them in Outlook, and that gets published back to the internet. So we're actually running short on time. I'm going to kind of wrap up my demo there and kind of say two final things. So we're also very focused on developers. We have a full API for managing this stuff. If you want to, go beyond the scope of what you saw here, you have the ability to do much more beyond what I showed. And I'd be happy to give demos of that, like I said, over at our booth. And the last thing I want to talk about is Open Social. I don't know how many people have heard of Open Social, probably all of you, but all I will say is this, is that, 2005 was the year that social networks took off big on websites, right? On individual websites. As a net result, it meant that, people are now being inundated with requests to join every other social networking site that, every social networking site that comes along, right? I know a friend of mine stopped joining them a year ago because it was just too much. I still join them, but the thing is that I enter the same information in, as I'm sure all of you do, over and over again as you join these things. So Open Social is a standard, is a platform that Google is pushing that is not specific to Google. It's just an initiative that they're trying to spearhead with other social networking sites to take social networking from individual sites and make them turn it from social communities on a website to social communities that span websites across the internet. So the nutshell there is that we're looking to support this in an upcoming release. And I also just got a little bing that my document was added on my other profile. So that's it. But anyway, so we're looking to support Open Social in an upcoming release to make sure that, that profiles are portable. So if you have two companies that are working together, maybe you want employees in your organization to connect to profiles that are up on Salesforce.com or profiles that are available on another company entirely. These are the things that we're looking to do. Believe very much in the power of not social networking, the buzzword, but just the pragmatic connections between the practical connections that the real connections that people create between one another. I'll leave the following 8 minutes for any questions. And I very much and sincerely thank you all for taking the time to come here and listen. And I hope that it was informative. I'm very glad to take any questions that you guys have. There's a question in the back. Could you say that again a little louder? Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the question was, can you link together between other social networks? The answer is Open Social. So once we have Open Social, we could link together with any other platform that provides that same interface. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay, so the question was not about linking together social networks. The question was about integrating with a third party app. The answer is, at its heart, there are APIs available for you to use to add in content or extract out content. So if you had something that goes beyond the scope of what we do out of that box, we have APIs available for you to add that kind of integration. It would require a developer, or if you didn't have a developer and you wanted that, there are ways to get it done that we could talk about, and we're next to Google. I could talk to you more about it. There's a question in the front. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, excellent. Thank you for reminding me. So the question was about SharePoint. So, we're a Microsoft partner, actually. We're not looking to compete or try to put SharePoint out of business. What we do is we play nicely with SharePoint. SharePoint is, for those that aren't Microsoft shops, is a is a tool that is typically used on intranets for collaborating, used for collaboration and building up documents. One thing that SharePoint doesn't do so well is then take that information and publish out to a public-facing website or a public-facing intranet. So SharePoint's good for groups, but not so good for public-facing websites or for public-facing intranets. So we have what we call a SharePoint connector, which lets somebody continue to use SharePoint as a collaboration tool, collaborate on the document within SharePoint, but then the connector takes that information and can push it out to a public-facing a corporate-facing intranet or a public-facing website. Answer your question? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's anything. Any content that's supported by SharePoint. There's a question in the front. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the question is, what kind of resistance do you get from IT staff, from the IT staff saying, we can build this kind of thing on our own? And, certainly I will say that, we hear, we have a lot of customers, and there are a lot of other similarly sized content management vendors that we go against. But do you know who consistently it is that we see being our competition? It is the homegrown solution, like people who have like their own territorial, we build it in-house, we build this kind of thing. We don't want to, turn that over to somebody else. And our response to that is we're not looking to put any internal IT group or internal development shop or development shop period out of business. We really truly provide, talking as a technologist, we provide tools that let people build these kind of applications quicker than they could on their own. I mean, definitely. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of development hours goes into an application like this. And it's not something that somebody could easily and quickly say, yeah, I'm going to implement drag and drop, of assets that, pretty complicated stuff, but we're not looking to displace. We're looking to enable, provide people with the technology that they need to build this kind of stuff. There's a question in the front. Yeah, that's another good question. So that the question there was more of a kind of, friction in terms of adoption, not from more of the technology standpoint, but from the kind of the mental standpoint of, social networking on an intranet, is that even applicable or relevant? Is that a good summation? Okay. So I would say that the biggest concern that people have when I show demos like this is, am I going to be approached by pedophiles? No, I'm just kidding. Are my documents going to be publicly accessible to everybody in the company? Everybody in the company. And the answer is no, because of the permission models that I've been talking about. You have the ability to, partition things off. You don't have to make everything public, that's the biggest thing, is everybody going to see everything? The other thing is, how do I wrangle in communications, As I can tell you firsthand, we are using this internally. And when we first launched this, we couldn't internally, we launched it well before, we launched live. We couldn't find a single other company that was at least talking publicly about using social networking apps on their internet. So it was an awesome learning experience internally. I mean, I can tell you that, we launched this thing live and it took off like wild. I mean, people were using it for things that we didn't expect. People were using it in ways we didn't really entirely agree with, but we let it go for a little while. And then we kind of said, okay, what are the patterns? How are people using this? And let's put some processes in place, not enforce it in the technology, but let's put some guidelines out there and see how well that, fares. And so, you know, we got an email out there from the COO that said, you know, here's how we want everybody to use the intranet, and put those guidelines in place. And, you know, 95% of the people in the company are doing a great job with that. You know, a great job. You know, one guy, unfortunately, in the engineering group, so I caught this one, you know, found that in this particular case, in this particular control, on this particular page, he could inject some CSS. So suddenly we had this page, you know, that looked like a MySpace page. And I was like, awesome, dude, thanks. You know? So, you know, nutshell there is that we tightened that little bug up. But, you know, policies are the first line of defense. And in our case, it worked. If that doesn't work, you have the ability to tighten things down using the approval processes and the permissions. But, you know, the nutshell is that, you know, you ask people, if you're a responsible organization and you have responsible people working, typically if you ask people or you tell people how you want them to use it, they'll be fine. They'll be fine with it. It'll be great. There's a question right there in the middle. Yeah. Okay. So it is 6 o'clock. My session's officially over right now. But I, like I said, two posts over from Google. I'd be happy to go into the process in which people actually can build out what you've seen here. So again, I sincerely thank you and appreciate the time you spent here. And again, come on over and continue the conversation, or email me, shoot me a message on the blog, or whatever. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.